rebuild your nation. Once again you will dance for joy and play your tambourines. You will plant vineyards on the hills of Samaria and enjoy the grapes. Someday those who guard the hill country of Ephraim will shout, "Let's go to Zion and worship the Lord our God." Israel will return to its own land. The Lord says, "Celebrate and sing for Israel, the greatest of nations. Offer praises and shout, 'Come and rescue your people, Lord. Save what's left of Israel.' I, the Lord, will bring my people back from Babylonia and everywhere else on earth. The blind and the lame will be there. Expectant mothers and women about to give birth will come and be part of that great crowd. They will weep and pray as I bring them home. I will lead them to streams of water. They will walk on a level road and not stumble. I am a father to Israel, my favorite children. Listen to me, you nations nearby or across the sea. I scattered the people of Israel, but I will gather them again. I will protect them like a shepherd guarding a flock. I will rescue them from enemies who could overpower them. My people will come to Mount Zion and celebrate. Their faces will glow because of my blessings. I'll give them grain, grapes, and olive oil, as well as sheep and cattle. Israel will be prosperous and grow like a garden with plenty of water. Young women and young men, together with the elderly, will celebrate and dance, because I will comfort them and turn their sorrow into happiness. I will bless my people with more food than they need, and the priests will enjoy the choice cuts of meat. I, the Lord, have spoken." The Lord offers hope. In Ramah, a voice is heard crying and weeping loudly. Rachel mourns for her children and refuses to be comforted, because they are dead. But I, the Lord, say to dry your tears. Someday your children will come home from the enemy's land. Then all you have done for them will be greatly rewarded. So don't lose hope. I, the Lord, have spoken. The people of Israel moan and say to me, "We were like wild bulls, but you, Lord, broke us, and we learned to obey. You are our God. Please let us come home. When we were young, we strayed and sinned, but then we realized what we had done. We are ashamed and disgraced and want to return to you." People of Israel, you are my own dear children. Don't I love you best of all? Though I often make threats, I want you to be near me, so I will have mercy on you. I, the Lord, have spoken. With rock piles and signposts, mark the way home, my dear people. It is the same road by which you left. Will you ever decide to be faithful? I will make sure that someday things will be different as a woman protecting a man. The Lord will bring Judah home. The Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, said, "I promise to set the people of Judah free and to lead them back to their hometowns. And when I do, they will once again say, 'We pray that the Lord will bless his home, the sacred hill in Jerusalem, where his temple stands.' The people will live in Jerusalem and in the towns of Judah. Some will be farmers, and others will be shepherds. Those who feel tired and worn out will find new life and energy and when they sleep, they will wake up refreshed. Someday Israel and Judah will be my field, where my people and their livestock will grow. In the past, I took care to uproot them, to tear them down, and to destroy them. But when that day comes, I will take care to plant them and help them grow. No longer will anyone go around saying, "Sour grapes eaten by parents leave a sour taste in the mouths of their children." When that day comes, only those who eat sour grapes will get the sour taste, and only those who sin will be put to death. The New Agreement with Israel and Judah. The Lord said, "The time will surely come when I will make a new agreement with the people of Israel and Judah. It will be different from the agreement I made with their ancestors when I led them out of Egypt. Although I was their God, they broke that agreement. Here is the new agreement that I, the Lord, will make with the people of Israel. I will write my laws on their hearts and minds. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they have to teach one another to obey me. I, the Lord, promise that all of them will obey me, ordinary people and rulers alike. I will forgive their sins and forget the evil things they have done. I am the Lord all-powerful. I command the sun to give light each day, the moon and stars to shine at night, and ocean waves to roar. I will never forget to give those commands, and I will never let Israel stop being a nation. I, the Lord, have spoken. Can you measure the heavens? Can you explore the depths of the earth? That's how hard it would be for me to reject Israel forever, even though they have sinned. I, the Lord, have spoken. Jerusalem will be rebuilt. The Lord said, "Someday Jerusalem will truly belong to me. It will be rebuilt with a boundary line running from Hananel Tower to Corner Gate. From there the boundary will go in a straight line to Gareb Hill, then turn toward Goa. Even that disgusting Hinnom Valley will be sacred to me, and so will the eastern slopes that go down from Horse Gate into Kidron Valley. Jerusalem will never again be destroyed." Jeremiah buys a field. Chapter 32. The Lord spoke to me in the 10th year that Zedekiah was king of Judah, which was the 18th year that Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylonia. At that time, the Babylonian army had surrounded Jerusalem, and I was in the prison at the courtyard of the palace guards. Zedekiah had ordered me to be held there, because I told everyone that the Lord had said, "I am the Lord, and I am about to let the king of Babylonia conquer Jerusalem. King Zedekiah will be captured and taken to King Nebuchadnezzar, who will speak with him face to face. Then Zedekiah will be led away to Babylonia, where he will stay until I am finished with him. So if you people of Judah fight against the Babylonians, you will lose. I, the Lord, have spoken." Later, when I was in prison, the Lord said, "Jeremiah, your cousin Hanamel, the son of your uncle Shallum, will visit you. He must sell his field near the town of Anathoth, and because you are his nearest relative, you have the right and the responsibility to buy it and keep it in the family." Hanamel came, just as the Lord had promised. And he said, "Please buy my field near Anathoth in the territory of the Benjamin tribe. You have the right to buy it and if you do, it will stay in our family." The Lord had told me to buy it from Hanamel, and so I did. The price was 17 pieces of silver, and I weighed out the full amounts on a scale. I had 2 copies of the bill of sale written out, each containing all the details of our agreement. Some witnesses and I signed the official copy, which was folded and tied, before being sealed shut with hot wax. Then I gave Hanamel the silver. And while he, the witnesses, and all the other Jews sitting in the courtyard were still watching, I gave both copies to Barak, son of Neriah. I told Barak that the Lord had said, "Take both copies of this bill of sale, one sealed shut and the other open, and put them in a clay jar so they will last a long time. I am the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel. And I promise you that people will once again buy and sell houses, farms, and vineyards in this country." Jeremiah questions the Lord. Then I prayed, "Lord God, you stretched out your mighty arm and made the sky and the earth. You can do anything. You show kindness for 1,000 generations. But you also punish people for the sins of their parents. You are the Lord All-Powerful. With great wisdom you make plans, and with your great power you do all the mighty things you planned. Nothing we do is hidden from your eyes, and you reward or punish us as we deserve. You are famous because you worked miracles in Egypt, and you are still working them in Israel and in the rest of the world as well. You terrified the Egyptians with your miracles, and you reached out your mighty arm and rescued your people Israel from Egypt. Then you gave Israel this land rich with milk and honey, just as you had promised our ancestors. But when our ancestors took over the land, they did not obey you, and now you have punished Israel with disaster. Jerusalem is under attack, and we suffer from hunger and disease. The Babylonians have already built dirt ramps up to the city walls, and you can see that Jerusalem will be captured just as you said. So why did you tell me to get some witnesses and buy a field with my silver, when Jerusalem is about to be captured by the Babylonians?" The Lord explains about the field. The Lord explained, "Jeremiah, I am the Lord God. I rule the world, and I can do anything. It is true that I am going to let King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia capture Jerusalem. The Babylonian army is already attacking, and they will capture the city and set it on fire. The people of Jerusalem have made me angry by going up to the flat roofs of their houses and burning incense to Baal and offering wine sacrifices to other gods. Now these houses will be burned to the ground. The kings and the officials, the priests and the prophets, and everyone else in Israel and Judah have turned from me and made me angry by worshiping idols. Again and again I have tried to teach my people to obey me, but they refuse to be corrected. I am going to get rid of Jerusalem, because its people have done nothing but evil. They have set up disgusting idols in my temple, and now it isn't a fit place to worship me. And they led Judah into sin by building places to worship Baal in Hinnom Valley, where they also sacrificed their sons and daughters to the god Molech. I have never even thought of telling them to commit such disgusting sins. Jeremiah, what you said is true. The people of Jerusalem are suffering from hunger and disease, and so the king of Babylonia will be able to capture Jerusalem. I am angry at the people of Jerusalem, and I will scatter them in foreign countries. But someday I will bring them back here and let them live in safety, They will be my people, and I will be their God. I will make their thoughts and desires pure. Then they will realize that for their own good and the good of their children, they must worship only me. They will even be afraid to turn away from me. I will make an agreement with them that will never end, and I won't ever stop doing good things for them. With all my heart, I promise that they will be planted in this land once again. Even though I have brought disaster on the people, I will someday do all these good things for them. Jeremiah, when you bought the field, you showed that fields will someday be bought and sold again. You say that this land has been conquered by the Babylonians and has become a desert, emptied of people and animals. But someday, people will again spend their silver to buy fields everywhere. In the territory of Benjamin, the region around Jerusalem, and the towns of Judah, and in the hill country, the foothills to the west, and the southern desert. Buyers and sellers and witnesses will sign and seal the bills of sale for the fields. It will happen, because I will give this land back to my people. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord promises to give the land back to his people. Chapter 33. I was still being held prisoner in the courtyard of the palace guards when the Lord told me, I am the Lord, and I created the whole world. Ask me, and I will tell you things that you don't know and can't find out. Many of the houses in Jerusalem and some of the buildings at the royal palace have been torn down to be used in repairing the walls to keep out the Babylonian attackers. Now there are empty spaces where the buildings once stood. But I am furious, and these spaces will be filled with the bodies of the people I kill. The people of Jerusalem will cry out to me for help, but they are evil, and I will ignore their prayers. Then someday, I will heal this place and my people as well, and let them enjoy unending peace. I will give this land to Israel and Judah once again, and I will make them as strong as they were before. They sinned and rebelled against me, but I will forgive them and take away their guilt. When that happens, all nations on earth will see the good things I have done for Jerusalem and how I have given it complete peace. The nations will celebrate and praise and honor me, but they will also tremble with fear. Jeremiah, you say that this land is a desert without people or animals, and for now, you are right. The towns of Judah and the streets of Jerusalem are deserted, and people and animals are nowhere to be seen. But someday, you will hear happy voices and the sounds of parties and wedding celebrations. And when people come to my temple to offer sacrifices to thank me, you will hear them say, "We praise you, Lord All-Powerful. You are good to us, and your love never fails." The land will once again be productive. Now it is empty, without people or animals. But when that time comes, shepherds will take care of their flocks and pastures near every town in the hill country, in the foothills to the west, in the southern desert, in the land of the Benjamin tribe, and around Jerusalem and the towns of Judah. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord's wonderful promise. The Lord said, I made a wonderful promise to Israel and Judah, and the days are coming when I will keep it. I promise that the time will come when I will appoint a king from the family of David, a king who will be honest and rule with justice. In those days, Judah will be safe. Jerusalem will have peace and will be named The Lord Gives Justice. The king of Israel will be one of David's descendants, and there will always be priests from the Levi tribe serving at my altar and offering sacrifices to please me and to give thanks. Then the Lord told me, I, the Lord, have an agreement with day and night, so they always come at the right time. You can't break the agreement I made with them, and you can't break the agreements I have made with David's family and with the priests from the Levi tribe who serve at my altar. A descendant of David will always rule as king of Israel, and there will be more descendants of David and of the priests from the Levi tribe than stars in the sky or grains of sand on the beach. The Lord also said, You've heard foreigners insult my people by saying, The Lord chose Israel and Judah, but now he has rejected them, and they are no longer a nation. Jeremiah, I will never break my agreement with the day and the night, or let the sky and the earth stop obeying my commands. In the same way, I will never reject the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or break my promise that they will always have a descendant of David as their king. I will be kind to my people Israel, and they will be successful again. Jeremiah warns Zedekiah, chapter 34. King Nebuchadnezzar had a large army made up of people from every kingdom in his empire. He and his army were attacking Jerusalem and all the nearby towns when the Lord told me to say to King Zedekiah, I am the Lord, and I am going to let Nebuchadnezzar capture this city and burn it down. You will be taken prisoner and brought to Nebuchadnezzar, and he will speak with you face to face. Then you will be led away to Babylonia. Zedekiah, I promise that you won't die in battle. You will die a peaceful death. People will mourn when you die, and they will light bonfires in your honor, just as they did for your ancestors, the kings who ruled before you. I went to Zedekiah and told him what the Lord had said. Meanwhile, the king of Babylonia was trying to break through the walls of Lachish, Azekah, and Jerusalem, the only three towns of Judah that had not been captured. The people break a promise. King Zedekiah, his officials, and everyone else in Jerusalem made an agreement to free all Hebrew men and women who were slaves. No Jew would keep another as a slave. And so all the Jewish slaves were given their freedom. But those slave owners changed their minds and forced their former slaves back into slavery. That's when the Lord told me to say to the people, I am the Lord God of Israel, and I made an agreement with your ancestors when I brought them out of Egypt where they had been slaves. As part of this agreement, you must let a Hebrew slave go free after 6 years of service. Your ancestors did not obey me, but you decided to obey me and do the right thing by setting your Hebrew slaves completely free. You even went to my temple, and in my name you made an agreement to set them free. But you have abused my name, because you broke your agreement and forced your former slaves back into slavery. You have disobeyed me by not giving your slaves their freedom. So I will give you freedom. The freedom to die in battle or from disease or hunger. I will make you disgusting to all other nations on earth. You asked me to be a witness when you made the agreement to set your slaves free. And as part of the ceremony, you cut a calf into two parts, then walked between the parts. But you people of Jerusalem have broken that agreement, as well as my agreement with Israel. So I will do to you what you did to that calf. I will let your enemies take all of you prisoner, including the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the royal officials, the priests, and everyone else who walked between the two parts of the calf. These enemies will kill you and leave your bodies lying on the ground as food for birds and wild animals. These enemies are King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia and his army. They have stopped attacking Jerusalem, but they want to kill King Zedekiah and his high officials. So I will command them to return and attack again. This time they will conquer the city and burn it down, and they will capture Zedekiah and his officials. I will also let them destroy the towns of Judah, so that no one can live there any longer. Learn a lesson from the Rechabites, chapter 35. When Jehoiakim was king of Judah, the Lord told me, "Go to the Rechabite clan and invite them to meet you in one of the side rooms of the temple. When they arrive, offer them a drink of wine." So I went to Jaazaniah, the leader of the clan, and I invited him and all the men of his clan. I brought them into the temple courtyard and took them upstairs to a room belonging to the prophets who were followers of Hanan, son of Igdaliah. It was next to a room belonging to some of the officials, and that room was over the one belonging to Maaseiah, a priest who was one of the high officials in the temple. I set out some large bowls full of wine together with some cups, and then I said to the Rechabites, "Have some wine." But they answered, "No. The ancestor of our clan, Jonadab son of Rechab, made a rule that we must obey. He said, 'Don't ever drink wine or build houses or plant crops and vineyards. Instead, you must always live in tents and move from place to place. If you obey this command, you will live a long time.' Our clan has always obeyed Jonadab's command. To this very day, we and our wives and sons and daughters don't drink wine or build houses or plant vineyards or crops. And we have lived in tents. Except now we have to live inside Jerusalem, because Nebuchadnezzar has taken over the countryside with his army from Babylonia and Syria." Then the Lord told me to say to the people of Judah and Jerusalem, "I, the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, want you to learn a lesson from the Rechabite clan. Their ancestor Jonadab told his descendants never to drink wine, and to this very day they have obeyed him. But I have spoken to you over and over, and you haven't obeyed me. You refused to listen to my prophets, who kept telling you, 'Stop doing evil and worshiping other gods. Start obeying the Lord, and he will let you live in this land he gave your ancestors.' The Rechabites have obeyed the command of their ancestor Jonadab, but you have not obeyed me, your God. I am the Lord All-Powerful, and I warned you about the terrible things that would happen to you if you did not listen to me. You have ignored me, so now disaster will strike you. I, the Lord, have spoken." The Lord makes a promise to the Rechabites. Then the Lord told me to say to the Rechabite clan, "I am the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel. You have obeyed your ancestor Jonadab, so I promise that your clan will be my servants and will never die out." King Jehoiakim burns Jeremiah's first scroll. Chapter 36. During the fourth year that Jehoiakim, son of Josiah, was king of Judah, the Lord said to me, Jeremiah, since the time Josiah was king, I have been speaking to you about Israel, Judah, and the other nations. Now get a scroll and write down everything I have told you. Then read it to the people of Judah. Maybe they will stop sinning when they hear what terrible things I plan for them. And if they turn to me, I will forgive them. I sent for Barak, son of Neriah, and asked him to help me. I repeated everything the Lord had told me, and Barak wrote it all down on a scroll. Then I said, Barak, the officials refused to let me go into the Lord's temple, so you must go instead. Wait for the next holy day when the people of Judah come to the temple to pray and to go without eating. Then take this scroll to the temple and read it aloud. The Lord is furious, and if the people hear how he is going to punish them, maybe they will ask to be forgiven. In the ninth month of the fifth year that Jehoiakim was king, the leaders set a day when everyone who lived in Jerusalem, or who was visiting here, had to pray and go without eating. So Barak took the scroll to the upper courtyard of the temple. He went over to the side of the courtyard and stood in a covered area near New Gate, where he read the scroll aloud. This covered area belonged to Gemariah, one of the king's highest officials. Gemariah's son Micaiah was there and heard Barak read what the Lord had said. When Barak finished reading, Micaiah went down to the palace. His father, Gemariah, was in the officials' room, meeting with the rest of the king's officials, including Elishama, Delaiah, Elnathan, and Zedekiah. Micaiah told them what he had heard Barak reading to the people. Then the officials sent Jehudi and Shelemiah to tell Barak, "Bring us that scroll." When Barak arrived with the scroll, the official said, "Please sit down and read it to us," which he did. After they heard what was written on the scroll, they were worried and said to each other, "The king needs to hear this." Turning to Barak, they asked, "Did someone tell you what to write on this scroll?" "Yes, Jeremiah did," Barak replied. "I wrote down just what he told me." The official said, "You and Jeremiah must go into hiding, and don't tell anyone where you are." The officials put the scroll in Elishama's room and went to see the king, who was in one of the rooms where he lived and worked during the winter. It was the ninth month of the year, so there was a fire burning in the fireplace, and the king was sitting nearby. After the officials told the king about the scroll, he sent Jehudi to get it. Then Jehudi started reading the scroll to the king and his officials. But every time Jehudi finished reading three or four columns, the king would tell him to cut them off with his penknife and throw them in the fire. Elnathan, Delaiah, and Gemariah begged the king not to burn the scroll, but he ignored them, and soon there was nothing left of it. The king and his servants listened to what was written on the scroll, but they were not afraid, and they did not tear their clothes in sorrow. The king told his son Jeramiel to take Seraiah and Shelemiah and to go arrest Barak and me, but the Lord kept them from finding us. Jeremiah's second scroll. I had told Barak what to write on that first scroll, but King Jehoiakim had burned it. So the Lord told me to get another scroll and write down everything that had been on the first one. Then he told me to say to King Jehoiakim, "Not only did you burn Jeremiah's scroll, You had the nerve to ask why he had written that the king of Babylonia would attack and ruin the land, killing all the people and even the animals. So I, the Lord, promise that you will be killed and your body thrown out on the ground. The sun will beat down on it during the day, and the frost will settle on it at night, and none of your descendants will ever be king of Judah. You, your children, and your servants are evil, and I will punish all of you. I warned you and the people of Judah and Jerusalem that I would bring disaster, but none of you have listened. So now you are doomed. After the Lord finished speaking to me, I got another scroll and gave it to Barak. Then I told him what to write, so this second scroll would contain even more than was on the scroll Jehoiakim had burned. King Zedekiah asks Jeremiah to pray. Chapter 37. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia had removed Jehoiakim, son of Jehoiakim, from being the king of Judah, and had made Josiah's son Zedekiah king instead. But Zedekiah, his officials, and everyone else in Judah ignored everything the Lord had told me. Later, the Babylonian army attacked Jerusalem, but they left after learning that the Egyptian army was headed in this direction. One day, Zedekiah sent Jehukal and the priest Zephaniah to talk with me. At that time, I was free to go wherever I wanted, because I had not yet been put in prison. Jehukal and Zephaniah said, "Jeremiah, please pray to the Lord our God for us." Then the Lord told me to send them back to Zedekiah with this message. "Zedekiah, you wanted Jeremiah to ask me, the Lord God of Israel, what is going to happen. So I will tell you. The king of Egypt and his army came to your rescue, but soon they will go back to Egypt. Then the Babylonians will return and attack Jerusalem, and this time they will capture the city and set it on fire. Don't fool yourselves into thinking that the Babylonians will leave as they did before. Even if you could defeat their entire army, their wounded survivors would still be able to leave their tents and set Jerusalem on fire." Jeremiah is put in prison. The Babylonian army had left because the Egyptian army was on its way to help us. So I decided to leave Jerusalem and go to the territory of the Benjamin tribe to claim my share of my family's land. I was leaving Jerusalem through Benjamin Gate when I was stopped by Irijah, the officer in charge of the soldiers at the gate. He said, "Jeremiah, you're under arrest for trying to join the Babylonians." "I'm not trying to join them," I answered. But Irijah wouldn't listen, and he took me to the king's officials. They were angry and ordered the soldiers to beat me. Then I was taken to the house that belonged to Jonathan, one of the king's officials. It had been turned into a prison, and I was kept in a basement room. After I had spent a long time there, King Zedekiah secretly had me brought to his palace, where he asked, "Is there any message for us from the Lord?" "Yes, there is, Your Majesty," I replied. "The Lord is going to let the king of Babylonia capture you." Then I continued, "Your Majesty, why have you put me in prison? Have I committed a crime against you or your officials or the nation? Have you locked up the prophets who lied to you and said that the king of Babylonia would never attack Jerusalem? Please, don't send me back to that prison at Jonathan's house. If you do, I will die." King Zedekiah had me taken to the prison cells in the courtyard of the palace guards. He told the soldiers to give me a loaf of bread from one of the bakeries every day, until the city ran out of grain. Jeremiah is held prisoner in a dry well. Chapter 38. One day, Shephatiah, Gedaliah, Jehuchal, and Pasher heard me tell the people of Judah that the Lord had said, "If you stay here in Jerusalem, you will die in battle or from disease or hunger, and the Babylonian army will capture the city anyway. But if you surrender to the Babylonians, they will let you live." So the four of them went to the king and said, "You should put Jeremiah to death, because he is making the soldiers and everyone else lose hope. He isn't trying to help our people. He's trying to harm them." Zedekiah replied, "Do what you want with him. I can't stop you." Then they took me back to the courtyard of the palace guards and let me down with ropes into the well that belonged to Malchiah, the king's son. There was no water in the well, and I sank down in the mud. Ebed-Melech from Ethiopia was an official at the palace, and he heard what they had done to me. So he went to speak with King Zedekiah, who was holding court at Benjamin Gate. Ebed-Melech said, "Your Majesty, Jeremiah is a prophet, and those men were wrong to throw him into a well. And when Jerusalem runs out of food, Jeremiah will starve to death down there." Zedekiah answered, "Take 30 of my soldiers and pull Jeremiah out before he dies." Ebed-Melech and the soldiers went to the palace and got some rags from the room under the treasury. He used ropes to lower them into the well. Then he said, "Put these rags under your arms so the ropes won't hurt you." After I did, the men pulled me out. And from then on, I was kept in the courtyard of the palace guards. King Zedekiah questions Jeremiah. King Zedekiah had me brought to his private entrance to the temple, and he said, "I'm going to ask you something, and I want to know the truth." "Why," I replied, "you won't listen, and you might even have me killed." He said, "I swear in the name of the living Lord, our Creator, that I won't have you killed. No one else can hear what we say, and I won't let anyone kill you." Then I told him that the Lord had said, "Zedekiah, I am the Lord God, all-powerful, the God of Israel. I promise that if you surrender to King Nebuchadnezzar's officers, you and your family won't be killed, and Jerusalem won't be burned down. But if you don't surrender, I will let the Babylonian army capture Jerusalem and burn it down, and you will be taken prisoner." Zedekiah answered, "I can't surrender to the Babylonians. I'm too afraid of the Jews that have already joined them. The Babylonians might hand me over to those Jews, and they would torture me." I said, "If you will just obey the Lord, the Babylonians won't hand you over to those Jews. You will be allowed to live, and all will go well for you. But the Lord has shown me that if you refuse to obey, then the women of your palace will be taken prisoner by Nebuchadnezzar's officials. And those women will say to you, 'Friends you trusted led you astray. Now you're trapped in mud, and those friends you trusted have all turned away.' The Babylonian army will take your wives and children captive. You will be taken as a prisoner to the king of Babylonia, and Jerusalem will be burned down." Zedekiah said, "Jeremiah, if you tell anyone what we have talked about, you might lose your life. And I'm sure that if my officials hear about our meeting, they will ask you what we said to each other. They might even threaten to kill you if you don't tell them. So if they question you, tell them you were begging me not to send you back to the prison at Jonathan's house, because going back there would kill you." The officials did come and question me about my meeting with the king, and I told them exactly what he had ordered me to say. They never spoke to me about the meeting again, since no one had heard us talking. I was held in the courtyard of the palace guards until the day Jerusalem was captured. Jerusalem is captured by the Babylonians. Chapter 39. In the 10th month of the 9th year that Zedekiah was king of Judah, King Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonian army began their attack on Jerusalem. They kept the city surrounded for a year and a half. Then on the 9th day of the 4th month of the 11th year that Zedekiah was king, they broke through the city walls. After Jerusalem was captured, Nebuchadnezzar's highest officials, including Nebo-Sarsekim and Nergal-Sharezer from Samager, took their places at Middle Gate to show they were in control of the city. When King Zedekiah and his troops saw that Jerusalem had been captured, they tried to escape from the city that same night. They went to the king's garden, where they slipped through the gate between the two city walls and headed toward the Jordan River Valley. But the Babylonian troops caught up with them near Jericho. They arrested Zedekiah and took him to the town of Riblah in the land of Hamath, where Nebuchadnezzar put him on trial, then found him guilty, and gave orders for him to be punished. Zedekiah's sons were killed there in front of him, and so were the leaders of Judah's ruling families. His eyes were poked out, and he was put in chains so he could be dragged off to Babylonia. Meanwhile, the Babylonian army had burned the houses in Jerusalem, including the royal palace, and they had broken down the city walls. Nebuzaradan, the Babylonian officer in charge of the guards, led everyone from the city as prisoners, even those who had deserted to Nebuchadnezzar. Only the poorest people who owned no land were left behind in Judah, and Nebuzaradan gave them fields and vineyards. Nebuchadnezzar had given the following orders to Nebuzaradan: find Jeremiah and keep him safe. Take good care of him and do whatever he asks. Nebuzaradan, Nebuchadnezzar, Nergal-Sharezer, and the other officers of King Nebuchadnezzar sent some of their troops to bring me from the courtyard of the royal palace guards. They put me in the care of Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, and told him to take me to my home. And so I was allowed to stay with the people who remained in Judah. The Lord promises to protect Ebed-Melech. While I was a prisoner in the courtyard of the palace guard, the Lord told me to say to Ebed-Melech from Ethiopia, I am the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel. I warned everyone that I would bring disaster, not prosperity, to this city. Now very soon I will do what I said, and you will see it happen. But because you trusted me, I will protect you from the officials of Judah. And when Judah is struck by disaster, I will rescue you and keep you alive. I, the Lord, have spoken. Jeremiah is set free. Chapter 40. I was led away in chains along with the people of Judah and Jerusalem, who were being taken to Babylonia. Nebuzaradan was the officer in charge of the guard, and while we were stopped at Ramah, the Lord had him set me free. Nebuzaradan said, Jeremiah, the Lord your God warned your people that he would bring disaster on this land, but they continued to rebel against him. And now he has punished them, just as he threatened. Today I am taking the chains off your wrists and setting you free. If you want to, you can come with me to Babylonia, and I will see that you are taken care of. Or if you decide to stay here, you can go wherever you wish. King Nebuchadnezzar has chosen Gedaliah to rule Judah. You can live near Gedaliah, and he will provide for you, or you can live anywhere else you want. Nebuzaradan gave me a supply of food, then let me leave. I decided to stay with the people of Judah, and I went to live near Gedaliah in Mizpah. The harvest is brought in. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, together with Johanan and Jonathan, the two sons of Kareah, had been officers in Judah's army, and so had Seraiah, the son of Tanhumeth, the sons of Ephi, the Netophathite, and Jezaniah from Maacah. They and their troops had been stationed outside Jerusalem and had not been captured. They heard that Gedaliah had been chosen to rule Judah, and that the poorest men, women, and children had not been taken away to Babylonia. So they went to Mizpah and met with their new ruler. Gedaliah told them, "There's no need to be afraid of the Babylonians. Everything will be fine if we live peacefully and obey King Nebuchadnezzar. I will stay here at Mizpah and meet with the Babylonian officials on each of their visits. But you must go back to your towns and bring in the harvest, then store the wine, olive oil, and dried fruit." Earlier, when the Babylonians had invaded Judah, many of the Jews escaped to Moab, Ammon, Edom, and several other countries. But these Jews heard that the king of Babylonia had appointed Gedaliah as ruler of Judah, and that only a few people were left there. So the Jews in these other countries came back to Judah and helped with the grape and fruit harvest, which was especially large that year. Gedaliah is murdered. One day, Johanan got together with some of the other men who had been army officers, and they came to Mizpah and met with Gedaliah. They said, "Gedaliah, we came to warn you that King Baalis of Ammon hired Ishmael to murder you." Gedaliah refused to believe them. So Johanan went to Gedaliah privately and said, "Let me kill Ishmael. No one will find out who did it. There are only a few people left in Judah, but they are depending on you. And if you are murdered, they will be scattered or killed." Gedaliah answered, "Don't kill Ishmael. What you've said about him can't be true." Chapter 41. But in the seventh month, Ishmael came to Mizpah with 10 of his soldiers. He had been one of the king's officials and was a member of the royal family. Ishmael and his men were invited to eat with Gedaliah. During the meal, Ishmael and his soldiers killed Gedaliah, the man chosen as ruler of Judah by the king of Babylonia. Then they killed the Jews who were with Gedaliah, and they also killed the Babylonian soldiers who were there. The next day, the murders had still not been discovered. When 80 men came down the road toward Mizpah from the towns of Shechem, Shiloh, and Samaria, they were on their way to the temple to offer gifts of grain and incense to the Lord. They had shaved off their beards, torn their clothes, and cut themselves, because they were mourning. Ishmael went out the town gate to meet them. He pretended to be weeping, and he asked them to come into Mizpah to meet with Gedaliah, the ruler of Judah. But after they were inside the town, Ishmael had his soldiers kill them and throw their bodies into a well. He let 10 of the men live, because they offered to give him supplies of wheat, barley, olive oil, and honey they had hidden in a field. The well that he filled with bodies had been dug by King Asa of Judah to store rainwater, because he was afraid that King Baasha of Israel might surround Mizpah and keep the people from getting to their water supply. Nebuzaradan, King Nebuchadnezzar's officer in charge of the guard, had left King Zedekiah's daughters and many other people at Mizpah, and he had put Gedaliah in charge of them. But now Ishmael took them all prisoner and led them toward Ammon on the other side of the Jordan River. Johanan and the other army officers heard what Ishmael had done. So they and their troops chased Ishmael and caught up with him at the large pit at Gibeon. When Ishmael's prisoners saw Johanan and the officers, they were happy and turned around and ran toward Johanan. But Ishmael and eight of his men escaped and went to Ammon. Johanan decides to take the people to Egypt. Johanan and the officers had rescued the women, children, and royal officials that Ishmael had taken prisoner after killing Gedaliah. Johanan led the people from Gibeon toward Egypt. They wanted to go there, because they were afraid of what the Babylonians would do when they found out that Ishmael had killed Gedaliah, the ruler appointed by King Nebuchadnezzar. The people asked Jeremiah to pray for them. On the way to Egypt, we stopped at the town of Gerith-Kimham, near Bethlehem. Chapter 42. Johanan, Jezaniah, the other army officers, and everyone else in the group came to me and said, "Please pray to the Lord your God for us. Judah used to have many people, but as you can see, only a few of us are left. Ask the Lord to tell us where he wants us to go and what he wants us to do." "All right," I answered. "I will pray to the Lord your God, and I will tell you everything he says." They answered, "The Lord himself will be our witness that we promise to do whatever he says, even if it isn't what we want to do. We will obey the Lord so that all will go well for us." 10 days later, the Lord gave me an answer for Johanan, the officers, and the other people. So I called them together and told them that the Lord God of Israel had said, "You asked Jeremiah to pray and find out what you should do. I am sorry that I had to punish you. And so I now tell you to stay here in Judah, where I will plant you and build you up, instead of tearing you down and uprooting you. Don't be afraid of the king of Babylonia. I will protect you from him, and I will even force him to have mercy on you and give back your farms. But you might keep on saying, 'We won't stay here in Judah, and we won't obey the Lord our God. We are going to Egypt, where there is plenty of food and no danger of war.' People of Judah, you survived when the Babylonian army attacked. Now you are planning to move to Egypt, and if you do go, this is what will happen. You are afraid of war, starvation, and disease here in Judah, but they will follow you to Egypt and kill you there. None of you will survive the disasters I will send. I, the Lord, was angry with the people of Jerusalem and punished them. And if you go to Egypt, I will be angry and punish you the same way. You will never again see your homeland. People will be horrified at what I do to you, and they will use the name of your city as a curse word." Jeremiah gives a warning. "I told the people, 'You escaped the disaster that struck Judah, but now the Lord warns you to stay away from Egypt. You asked me to pray and find out what the Lord our God wants you to do, and you promised to obey him. But that was a terrible mistake. because now that I have given you the Lord's answer, you refuse to obey him. And so you will die in Egypt from war, hunger, and disease. The people go to Egypt. Chapter 43. I told the people everything the Lord had told me. But Azariah, Johanan, and some other arrogant men said to me, "You're lying. The Lord didn't tell you to say that we shouldn't go to Egypt. Barak, son of Neriah, must have told you to say that. He wants the Babylonians to capture us, so they can take us away to Babylonia, or even kill us." Johanan, the other army officers, and everyone else refused to stay in Judah, in spite of the Lord's command. So Johanan and the officers led us away toward Egypt. The group that left Judah included those who had been scattered in other countries and who had then come back to live in Judah. Barak and I and others in the group had been staying with Gedaliah, because Nebuzaradan, the Babylonian officer in charge of the guard, had ordered him to take care of the king's daughters and quite a few men, women, and children. The people disobeyed the Lord and went to Egypt. The group had settled in Tapanhes when the Lord told me, "Jeremiah, carry some large stones to the entrance of the government building in Tapanhes. Bury the stones underneath the brick pavement, and be sure the Jews are watching. Then tell them that I, the Lord All-Powerful, the God of Israel, have sent for my servant, Nebuchadnezzar of Babylonia. I will bring him here, and have him set up his throne and his royal tent over these stones that I told you to bury. He will attack Egypt and kill many of its people.